Okay, turn your Bibles to John chapter. Do you like that transition? John chapter 18. Okay, what is the greatest thing you've ever seen someone do?
The great.
What?
I said Steph Curry dropped 64 miles.
Steph Curry dropped 60 something points?
Yeah.
Really? Did he do that? That's amazing.
I saw him do it a lot.
So, I know, I don't know basketball. I don't know golf like that. Caden.
That time with Gatlinburg and that guy made this two cards, one card.
That was insane. I can't believe you remember that. It was a magic trick, and we're still like, our brains are still broken by it. What else? What's the greatest thing you've ever seen somebody do?
I'm trying to process what he said. That's crazy.
I have it on video, actually. I have to. What to do it? What? What do you think changed in their life for Steph Curry? Probably nothing much, because he's such a legendary. Huh? He's done it before, right?
But seeing it in person.
But if you're like a normal person and you do something great, what do you think changes in your life?
I was enlightened by the card incident.
Like, you were enlightened? Like, magic does exist. I want your autograph. When you do something great, people like want to be around you. They want to follow more of what you do. You're on their radar. You get followers on social media. You get a book deal. Let's write a story about it. Let's sell books because people are interested in your feat, your accomplishment. What's the greatest failure you've ever seen? What's the greatest failure?
A guy in our game yesterday tried to jump off an alley. That was
hilarious.
Okay. That's the greatest failure? Greatest failure.
Say it.
Donald Trump's tariffs.
Stop. Seeing somebody like failing to dunk. Okay, Lydia's got something, Lydia.
I watched somebody break their toe on the thick carpet in my bedroom.
Wow. I'm watching this, but I'm watching my wife go this. Is somebody?
It's okay. What did I just miss?
Oh man. So when you see somebody fail.
When Josiah farted at the beach trip.
When Josiah farted at the beach trip. So when somebody fails, you tend to go, bless his heart. What a fart. You need to go and check yourself. Bless your fart. No, you do. You feel pity. And you're like, oh, man. Bless his heart. Poor guy. I hate to feel like that. I hate to be that guy. You kind of get secondhand embarrassment because of how bad they've done.
Like watching Tennessee.
Where did that come? Andrew, since when are you smack talking?
It's like watching Alabama against Indiana.
No, no, no. All right. Sure, it is, because it's blessed the heart. All right, so does it change their life? Does it change how they see themselves when they fail? It can. So they have to make a decision. They have to respond to this failure. People see them as objects of pity. They say, I hate to be that guy. But here's the thing. What we've been reading in the Gospel of John is Jesus is our life. So if you accomplish something great, you're not saying, I have arrived. This is my new status as the one who's done this, scored 60 points, whatever. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my life. And if you fail, you try to achieve this thing, but you fail so embarrassingly, you can say as a Christian, this doesn't define me. Christ is my life. Okay? So we've seen a life through the Gospel of John, And Jesus says, well, Paul says that Christ is your life. You can look to him. Don't look to your accomplishments, your good deeds, your best days, or your worst days to define yourself. You're looking to Jesus. Because think about it, our best days, our best deeds of righteousness fall short of the glory of God. The good news is the gospel, your best day happened 2,000 years ago. And then from the resurrection, there's a promise of if you're trusting in Jesus, you will never really have a bad day because you're in him. Christ is your life. That day secures all your future days. And if you want to turn to Colossians 3, 4, this is Colossians 3, 4. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. You're getting commentary on the Gospel of John, basically, on the accomplishment. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth, okay? Good deeds or bad deeds, failures or triumphs. For you died, you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Christ is your life and your glory. That is now by faith and is in the future. That cannot be taken away because Christ is your life. So let me pray and we're going to go through very quick highlights and draw some application. Lord, we thank you again for this time to be together. I pray that you bless it in our time discussing your word, wrapping up the Gospel of John. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Here's the theme of chapter 18. Okay, we're going to just very briefly skip the rocks over the water here. Theme of John chapter 18 is there's Jesus' arrest and you have Peter's denial. And really, by their actions, the disciples denying Jesus. Jesus is in control. He's in control even when it looks like chaos is happening. Jesus steps forward to be arrested. Jesus said to them, I am he. And they drew back. They fell back because of what Jesus said. The guards that are going to get Jesus, they fell back. That's in John 18, 4 through 6. So you see the power that Jesus has. He's like, we're coming for Jesus. He says, I am he. And blows them back, like throws these guards backwards, showing his power, showing that, okay, he is going to lay down his life here. He has the power by his words to send them backwards, and he's still being taken. This is Jesus doing this on purpose. He is laying down his life. He is in control. Okay, Jesus stops Peter from fighting. Remember, Peter is like, he gets a sword, and he goes on the offense to defend Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, shall I not drink the cup the Father's given me? Like, in other words, this is part of the plan. I'm in control even now. And then Peter didn't get the clue. Peter denies Jesus. Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the rooster began to crow. That's John 18, 27. So an application for us is we should trust Jesus no matter what it looks like, no matter what our circumstances look like. Moving on to 19. Here's the crucifixion. I told you it's going to be quick. The king is on the cross. And you have poetic irony here. Jesus is declared king even through the mockery. It says in John 19, 19, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Jesus truly is the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he's mocked as if he's not. So you have this irony. And I'm preaching this Sunday, pray for me. I'm going to talk more about this. My sermon is called The Ironies of the Cross, and I can't wait to share a lot with you. From the cross, Jesus says, it's finished. It's finished. Meaning he's accomplished something, even though it looks like he's failed. But he really has accomplished what he sought out to do. The world says failure. But Jesus says it's finished. His death is confirmed. One of the soldiers pierced his side. He truly died. and beginning a sudden flow of blood and water from his body. All right. So the idea is it wasn't a loss, it's a completed mission, and he truly did die. John chapter 20. This theme is death is defeated. There's a resurrection. You have the empty tomb. John 20 verse 1, they saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. You have Jesus appearing to Mary. Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned toward him and cried out. You have the disciples that he appears to, peace be with you. Thomas moves from doubt to belief. He says, my Lord and my God, when he sees the actual piercings on Jesus' body. So the resurrection turns fear and grief and doubt into belief. He truly was dead. He truly came back alive, or the takeaway. And in John 21, you have the restoration. Jesus restores his relationship with his disciples. You have overconfident Peter, who knows the Bible, knows the Old Testament, knows all the Adventure Club verses, and he was like, I'm the super Christian. They will turn their back and run. I will never run. And then you have like a denial three times, three separate recorded failures from Peter. And Jesus is going to address each one of those. Do you love me? Do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus gives him purpose again. Feed my sheep. I am bringing you back in. I'm recommissioning you. I'm going to show you grace, and I'm going to put you on mission. And you have this final call from the book to follow me. Jesus calls everybody to follow him. What would Peter say is his worst moment? I mean, you kind of talked about it. Put words into, how would Peter describe what he did? If you were Peter, what would you say? What was your worst moment? Denied Jesus like three times. Like had an opportunity to not deny him again. I denied two more times. I should have just died with him. I could have been right beside him on the cross. We could have been raised together. But he denied Jesus three times. And remember, Jesus prays that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat. Jesus prayed that he would be restored. Implication, your worst moment doesn't have to be the final word. It doesn't define you. Okay? Jesus restores Peter. Your worst day will never eclipse Jesus' worst day. Jesus sank to the lowest soul-crushing depths to bring you up to the soul-restoring, joy-restoring heights of glory. That's what he came to do. Remember, Christ, who is your life, when he appears, you will appear with him in glory. So if you fail epically and there's videos of it and there's memes about it and there's people's minds you'll never change because their mental image of you is a failure of that thing that you did, Jesus says, that's not going to define you. Look to me. Look to what I have done for you. Christ is your life. The glory, when I appear, you're going to be transformed and you will appear in glory. Like, it's a glorious thing when Steph Curry scores 60 points. It's a glorious thing because it's hard to do. Not only is it, I mean, that's really impressive. That's hard to do. And we love that. And we want that. We want to achieve something on that status. But if you don't, you're not defined by that. Okay? Okay, our response. Surrender to God's will even when it's hard. Choose obedience over comfort. Follow Jesus. He's like, this is the path. This is what God the Father set out for me. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to follow the Father. I'm going to drink. Shall I not drink the cup the Father's given me? Don't fight the wrong battles. Peter's pulling a sword, and he is like, I'm going to do this thing in my way. And Jesus is like, that's not the way I've chosen for you. Okay, another response from what we've covered is believe Jesus over your subjective feelings of doubt. Believe Jesus over your subjective feelings of doubt. Like, what should you do when your faith is weak? What should you do when your faith is weak? Logan. Pray.
Go to the Bible.
Read the Bible. What in particular are you going for? The Bible's full of truth. What particular truth do you need to hear? Logan, you really raise your hand now?
Jesus is enough.
It takes reading that and thinking about it and reflecting on it for it to really sink into your heart. You really have to like think about it, pray through it before your heart is stirred with that being real on your heart. You know what I mean by real on your heart? Where it's just kind of like a fleeting thought. You entertain the thought, but it doesn't move you. It doesn't transform anything. You still feel the same way when you're reading, you think about it, and you're praying the Spirit would make this alive on your heart, where you're like, okay, I failed, and I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm trying to trust you. And you read Scripture, and the Spirit says, this is true. You can trust me. That dynamic needs to happen. You can't do it when you're just kind of like, I hope I feel better. I'll find something funny to... I'll roast one of my friends on ChatGPT and try to laugh at it. It's not going to change anything. That's a temporary solution. Stop doubting and believe is what Jesus tells struggling Thomas. So bring your doubts to Jesus. Look at the love that we have in Scripture for us through Jesus. Another response from these three chapters is go forth. John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. You're not just saved, you're going to be sent. You're going to live on with a purpose. If you're just stagnant and not growing and compartmentalizing your Christianity, where this is like a weekend thing, and you're like, I'm just depressed. Like, this has got to be a lifestyle. This is not like a weekend warrior thing where you're wrestling with these scriptures, you're meeting with the church, and you're iron sharpening iron. That dynamic needs to happen. Otherwise, you compartmentalize your faith, which is just a weekend thing, and you're not getting the truth you need into your system. Iron sharpened iron means it's like these truths in community really work it into your system, to your heart, so that you really get it. Like God shows you something, then God shows somebody else another part of this truth, and we all come together in church or in your really close spiritual friend group, and you wrestle with it, and you go, that person, I was kind of weak spiritually, and that person is just like God showing them things, and they're loving Jesus, and that is just like, that has inspired me, and that has helped me strengthen my faith. That dynamic needs to happen. So going forward together as a, you know, and that's what has to happen. At least things have to be like an engine firing on all cylinders. They've got to work together in harmony. Recognizing Jesus in everyday life. John 21, 4 through 7. The disciples, they didn't recognize him at first. They're back to fishing, and they're just kind of like going about it, and there the Lord is, the resurrected Lord. And the Lord uses so many ordinary moments to strengthen our faith through flat tires, through setbacks, through failure. A lot of things he shows us through failure. Okay, wrapping up here. Yeah, last thing. Follow Jesus no matter the cost. He says in John 21, verse 17, sorry, 19, follow me, follow me. And he has given us a book to explain what that means, what that means. So not just admire Jesus, not just believe in him, okay? That's how we're saying we're believing in him, but even James says, even the devils believe and tremble. So actually follow him with your life. Rest in Christ. When you have a great day and you feel like, finally, life is changing, going my way, We're not going to rest in that. You're going to rest in Jesus. And if you have an epic failure, like I said, you go, okay, I'm going to... Because when you fail, it really like lingers with you, don't it? It's kind of stains. You kind of go back to it. You lay in bed thinking about it. But if you think, okay, I'm a Christian, and you almost have to talk out loud and to say this, I'm not defined by this. This day doesn't define me. I will do better next time. I put my foot in my mouth, whatever it is, Christ is my life. I can go forward, and this thing is not going to define me. But that you have to almost go through that thought process to arrive there. I can't just say, cheer up, you're a Christian, you know? You're skipping some steps if you do that. Rest in Jesus. And I talked about the danger of compartmentalization. Again, what does that mean, compartmentalization? How would you say it? Say it in your way. Compartmentalize. Don't compartmentalize your faith.
To like put it as a side thing.
As a side thing.
You're not fully thinking about it all the time. It's like a part of your head.
Yeah. It has like a little cubby hole. Jesus has, I have my little Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, and Jesus goes here, he goes here. What I'm saying is, he's the entire shelf. He organizes everything on that shelf. Unless you understand that dynamic, it's just, don't expect to change. Don't expect to have a, show the fruit of the Spirit. It's just going to be like this weekend thing, and you're going to struggle. What would it mean for somebody to next question. Jesus should not be an as needed basis. Another way to say this is just going to Jesus as needed. How would that look? What does that look like when somebody does that? Going to Jesus on an as needed basis, like I'm sick, I need medicine. I go to that medicine on an as needed basis. What would we do? How would we do that with Jesus?
I'm not struggling leaning on him, but when things are good.
Yeah. That's typically the best answer. When we're struggling, we go, I really, Jesus, I need thee, you know. But preventative medicine, preventative maintenance is the best thing. You're going to the Lord, you're walking with him before life goes into the ditch, before you go through a struggle. It's just like living with the Lord, and just every day you're spending a little bit of time with him. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him, as you go about learning how to trust in him, joy and peace and being filled with it, hope, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. Like not just like barely glass half full, but overflow. And when people overflow, they overflow into others who really need it. And you want to be that person that, I mean, like, yes, I want hope. Everybody wants hope and joy. But you have to, like, put the phone down and you have to spend time with the Lord. You have to make that effort. So don't be shocked when you're like, I'm just depressed. You're not making time to feed yourself spiritually. You train your brain, and I'm guilty too, of this thing constantly, please, and you scroll, it's like the lottery, or not lottery, but the vending machine, slot machines, and you're scrolling, and you're hoping that we'll find something that'll make you feel better, or give you a distraction to cloak your pain. It's never going to go away. You're just going to find something like a placebo effect. In closing, and I said that 5 minutes ago, Tiffany knows my patterns. John wants you to come and see. He wants you to come and see for yourselves. The training wheels are coming off. You have graduates. You're going to do your own thing. I hope you don't have a borrowed faith. If you have a borrowed faith, and you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, you're just going to float over to some other group and attach yourself onto their values, their beliefs, and you're just going to be some NPC for them in their game. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. So John 19, verse 35 says, "He who saw it has bore witness." His testimony, talking about himself, is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that, this is why I wrote this gospel, John says, so that you also may believe, that you may believe. "For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him of whom they pierced." The purpose of the book, focus. John 20, verse 30. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." Now, this is so interesting. There's so many signs not recorded. Okay? "But these things that were recorded," verse 31 says, "were written so that you may believe." Not so that you would get a new to-do list so you can clean yourself up, but you're believing, you're trusting in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So you would rest in that and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. He is our life, Christ who is your life. When He appears, you appear with Him in glory. How do we have life? How do we have eternal life? What does it say? I do the thing where I give you the answer and then I turn around and ask you the question. How do we have life? What does John say? By believing in Him. What does that look like? Give me some other synonyms for belief.
Trust.
Trust. Elijah.
Reading the Bible
is an action. It's more like law. You're wrong, sir. No, that's how you get to belief. Okay, He's written so that you would believe. Resting, trusting, these are synonymous. Looking to. Last verse, John 21:24. "Disciples who are bearing witness about these things and who have written these things, and we know His testimony is true. Now, there are other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." I love that. So it's like, don't think that this is a limited Jesus. He is not limited. What you have is true, truth, so that you can believe rightly in Him and see Him as the Messiah. But there's so many books that can be written, so many more. The Bible gives us enough to believe, but it doesn't tell us everything there is. So Christ is deeper still. We're going to spend eternity learning more about who He is and what He came to do, how the richness of His glory. Jesus is greater than any single story or book could contain. So follow Him on an ongoing journey of discovery with Him, walking with Him, expecting to constantly know more. But you need to make that effort. Again, not to maintain your righteousness, but if you want to know Jesus, pursue Him every day. It changes everything. Any questions? That's all I got. Any questions? If you have any questions about this, talk to me. We can talk about it. Let me pray. Lord, we thank You again for our time. We thank You for the Gospel of John. We thank You that You've written these things so that we would believe in You, Jesus, and invite us to come and see. We thank You for these good truths that we've walked through over the months, and I pray that Your Spirit would apply it to our lives and that we would wrestle with our good days and our bad days. We thank You, Lord, that You've accomplished the greatest thing for us. Remove our sin debt through Your dying on the cross in our place. We thank You that You rose from the dead and when you appear, we will appear with you in glory. Thank you for this great news. Help us to put down the phone and not look to any distractions, but to rest in you and to look to you, to pursue you above all things. And there we'll find our hope and our joy. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.